Hi guys, so you decided to get married. I'm real happy for you. I'm glad you didn't wait until September. I have decided that when people are ready to get married, that's the time for them to get married. Unfortunately, sometimes people are on the opposite sides of the earth, but what difference does that make? When you love each other, I feel real proud because you have asked me to say something to you. There are no two young people that I appreciate any more than I appreciate the two of you. And I'm delighted to say something to you, though I hardly know what to say. And what I say to you may sound like a little fatherly advice. After all, I am old enough to be a father to both of you. It may sound a little preachy to you, buddy, because you heard me preach for so many years. But I think I'm vitally concerned about your welfare as Christian young people, and because I love you both and want for you only the very best in life. I'm going to presume to say a few things to you that I hope will be beneficial. And if not, there is one distinct advantage of a tape recorder. You can always cut the thing off or break the tape or do one of 100 other things. But I think marriage is a wonderful institution. I believe that God, in His wisdom, arranged it for man's benefit. I'm so glad that Christ placed His stamp of approval upon it by attending the wedding feast in Cana. I'm glad that God had the Holy Spirit declare several things about it in the Scriptures, so we could learn and understand. I think when two people have prepared themselves for marriage like you have, that marriage can be more wonderful than it could be with people who do not understand. But still, I think it's wonderful that your minds and hearts can be impressed, indelibly so, with words that are true and sober from God's law. I think marriage is a real institution. There's nothing imaginary about it. It is as real as God is, as real as Christ is, as real as the Holy Spirit is. It is as real as you are. And the union that you have formed is indissoluble, so far as you are concerned. Unfaithfulness gives either of you the right to put away the other for life, but that's not in the scope for Christian people. Light and frivolous excuses are not acceptable. Before God, this is a serious business. This relationship that you are entering together is delightful in that it protects the weaker vessels. They're not to be abused. The stronger vessel is not to be reproached. Woman wasn't intended to be man's slave, but she is his willing helper. Man was not intended to be woman's oppressor, but he is her protector. I've always been glad that God told us that woman was not taken from man's head. She's not to be his ruler. Neither was she taken from his feet. She's not to be a floor mat to be trampled on. She was taken from man's side, God said, so she could be his equal. Taken from near his heart so that she could be loved by man. from under his arm, that she could be protected and preserved in the difficulties of life. I'm glad God told us these things, and I believe you are too. God provides that the wife is to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. He said that the husband should be the head of his wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of that spiritual body. That the church is to be subject to Christ and the wife is to be subject to her husband. That the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A man ought to love his wife as his own body, Paul said. You can't hate your own flesh, but rather you nourish it and cherish it, just like Christ does the church. That's why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and they too become one flesh. A man loves his wife even as he loves himself, and a wife reverences her husband. And here is one of the most delightful, intimate, sacred relationships you could possibly imagine. That's why it's so easy to forsake all other human relationships when you assume this one. I think too, buddy, Kay, that you'll never show more respect for one another than when you love each other and when you show that you're devoted to each other. It's too sad that people sometimes show no regard for themselves or for God's will when they forget God's arrangement when they're married. You have made some promises to each other. I know you made them sincerely in good faith. I hope you never forget them. And the rings probably that have been exchanged in your case when your vows have been pledged, these rings, they'll probably mean a lot to you, especially in the months ahead when you'll be separated. But they've always indicated that pledges have been made in good faith and that you have declared your vows honorably. You've pledged yourselves to each other. You have new duties and obligations which come to you because you're now married. But let this ring always remind you. It's round. Let it symbolize the eternal nature of the new relationship you're now forming. And it's made out of precious metal. Let this precious metal symbolize the everlasting quality of your devotion and love to each other. You're wonderful people. You'll make a wonderful team. You'll be good parents. I know you will. Remember that you'll stand in the place of God before your children, until you can transfer their allegiance from you to God Himself. That's a fearsome responsibility, but you're prepared for it. With God's help, you can do it. I hope you'll be very happy. My constant prayer for you is that the smile of God's face will be yours. The consolation of God's peace will rest on both of you. And that the sunshine of His love will be yours as you entwine your hearts in love, as you enlarge that love that you have for each other, and you will through the years, and that you'll build a home. A home, as you well know, is not a house. You can have a home, though you're on separate parts of the world. May God bless you. Come see us. My best regards to you both.